हरि ओम
सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 13 Spiritual salvation and liberation from material bondage must be worked out with great caution. Otherwise, a little discrepancy would cause one to fall down again into material existence. By studying the activities of Maharaj Bharata, we can learn the art of being completely freed from all material attachment. As it will be revealed in later verses, Maharaj Bharata had to accept the body of a deer due to his being overly compassionate for the infant deer. So here it says overly compassionate. So the compassion is fine. Because otherwise, like we were discussing last class, is that the idea comes up as, oh, then we shouldn't be compassionate at all. Right? But here it's overly compassionate. So it's compassion beyond what was necessary.
It's directed at the compassion itself as a value, not actually what it's directed at.
That's there, but actually as Krishna has the value.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, it's that Krishna is the value. The quality of compassion, that's value, is its connection to Krishna. That right? Means it'll be recommended or glorified even on its own compassion. But that's only because of its usefulness in Krishna consciousness. Right? In other words, let us say, if you want to create an environment that's good for Krishna consciousness,
yes,
then you would encourage everyone to follow that lifestyle and culture that would be favorable to Krishna consciousness. Now, if they're not a devotee, why would they do that?
For some other reason.
For some other purpose. In other words, that's the piety. By being compassionate, right, then it creates a nice environment, everyone gets along, you know, everything develops more. By being compassionate, people will be compassionate to you. You understand? So in other words, the culture of bhakti is recommended to the non-devotees because it's the proper environment for devotional service. But they won't do it because it pleases Krishna. They'll do it because of the material benefit they'll get from it. Does that make sense? But because they are following that culture that is the lifestyle that is useful in Krishna consciousness, it still is glorious. But you know, being compared to non, but it still will keep you in the material world. Right? So then the idea is that by them following that, it creates a favorable environment for devotees to function in. Right? Because then the lifestyle that devotees live is natural in the environment and everything goes on nicely. You learn it nicely, you deal with it nicely. Does that make sense? So it's proper. Well, if it's not based on that, then it makes it harder to live the life of a devotee. Right? One, by just the facilities and environment is different. And two, is by that association, one might get distracted. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the value of compassion, is that if it's used in Krishna's service, then it actually has a value. Otherwise, it's gold chains instead of iron chains. That's all. That's the thing, is because otherwise we get confused and think it's important on its own.
Yes.
Right? Then that compassion will be directed at some you know, something, someone like this. You know, it has to be a someone, I guess. Not just like so compassionate with you. You know, how you say it?
Laptop.
Yeah, your laptop or something. You know.
It happens. Especially like the phones.
Yes.
Very bonding relationship with the phone. They have this Siri thing. You know, you can talk to your phone and she'll answer back in a friendly female voice.
And they generally react with a, yeah, that's unique.
It's as far as it goes.
Yes.
So Maharaj, can we say that Maharaj Bharati has the same problem than Arjuna about compassion?
On one level, yes, but I would say Arjuna is more in line with our level of compassion.
Yes.
Because it's you can more obviously see the attachment to the Dharma, attachment to the facilities for oneself, attachment to the relationships. While here, it's the compassion is more based on that the living entity, you know, identifies as a deer. And is therefore now without a mother, so it'll be in distress. Because the living entity, being in ignorance in the body of a deer, doesn't know that it's the soul, not the body. So therefore he's just reciprocating with the soul according to that. But he's not going beyond. Yes. Like, because Krishna deals like that. How we deal with him, he responds. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. The point is he's crossed. That's why he says overly compassion. Mm-hmm. So it's not that he's just showing the compassion because there's the environment for it. He's actually become attached to that. You understand? That's the difficulty. So that's why we have to balance it, because we have to always remember that the Brahman and the Paramatma aspects are coming from Krishna. They're not separate from Krishna. It's not like there's Brahman, you know, and then there's Paramatma, and then there's Bhagavan. No, there's Bhagavan, and two other features is Brahman and Paramatma. It's important to understand, yes.
Maharaj is overly attached due to lack of association, right?
That we'll see if it's that, because on this platform that they're on, they're always associating with the Lord, with their mantra, with, you know, so many ways. It's not necessarily. But if that is brought out in the story, then that's what's important for us. Because we have to define between the difference of what's good for us and then what is, you know, what is their platform. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, in other words, in explaining it how we just explained it, so that we see that what fault is lying there is very subtle. Because that's what Prabhupada's pointing. Spiritual salvation and liberation from material bondage must be worked out with great caution. Otherwise, a little discrepancy will cause one to fall down again into material existence. So we're talking here about a little discrepancy. Right? But the point is the principle, whether it's a little or it's big, the principle is the same. So it still applies to us. We could say, oh, that's a little and I have so much so I can't even get to the... No. It's the same principle. We just might have more of what he problem he has.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. We need more, but we will do more.
Yes. Yeah. It means it's just everything's bigger. That's all. Yeah. You know, he's attached to one deer. We're attached to about, you know, 150 things, right? You know, so you understand. But it's the same principle. Because just as he can close down that attachment to the one deer, we can close down for all the, you know, 101, you know, how you say, attachment, 101.
Yes.
You know. Because it's one thing.
Yes.
It may have many, many manifestations. It's one thing. It's not, okay, I've gotten rid of that one, now onto the next.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's that it all goes down, or it all comes up.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, Maharaj, the overly part, is that something is being seen separate from Krishna?
It appears that, you know, up now in the story, is that his dealing, that connection to Krishna hasn't been seen. He may be seeing the deer on the platform of the soul, but he's not necessarily connecting why that's an important thing to do. So he's seeing on that liberated platform, he maintains the liberated platform in his next life as a deer. Like, if it was fully just focused on the deer, then he'd just become a deer. But he's a deer that's fully self-realized.
Yeah.
Right? So that means he was still on the platform of self-realization. But that's the point. Falling down from Baba, We'll take it as just, it's a position. But actually, the point is this Krishna consciousness means. We're Krishna conscious, we're not fallen. We're not Krishna conscious, we're fallen. It's that simple.
Yeah.
We take it that, you know, we'll see it according to time and space. So you're here, now he's fallen. Now he's down here with us neophytes and all that. And so, you know what I'm saying? It's just a matter of the point. But that moment, then he brings it back. So you can say this, yes, okay, he may be at that stage as fallen as we are. But at the same time, the next moment, he's back to his Uttamadhikari position. While we in the next moment still are kind of where we still are. You understand? That's the importance of understanding iron and fire. Right? That's our definition of the absolute. But much of the time when you see that we are applying these platforms of purity and absoluteness, we're using the modern Christian idea or the Hollywood idea. It's all or nothing. You know, it's not that we see iron and fire. That's why it's always used iron and fire. They don't give a different example. You know what I'm saying? It's always iron because the irons and fire, it's hot. You take it out, it's cold. You put it back, it's hot. But the modern is once you've done something wrong, you're eternally damned. It's not Vedic eternal damnation. That doesn't exist. No one's ever eternally damned. Right? Because if it were, then why would there be the Bhagavatam and the Lord coming with his pastime? We would have just been sent down here and it would be creamy Bojan, right?
Would that also mean that karma would be on the same level as bhakti?
That's the whole thing, is we're putting it that he's done this wrong, therefore you can't be devotee, he can't be, you know, a Brahman, he can't be, you know.
So karma gets in the way.
Yeah, no, because karma is everything.
Yeah.
So where is that coming from? Because we're talking about the dharma of a Brahman, and if you're on the platform of dharma, then a Brahman does something wrong, it's a Brahman doing something wrong. But we're taking it, if a Brahman does something wrong, he's not a Brahman. So that means we're not working on dharma. So what's the next option after dharma?
Pranamo.
Not moksha? Okay.
No.
So it drops down to pranamo.
I just got nervous there for a moment.
What?
Have I just wasted 6 years of my life?
No. Oh, it's that 6 years finally gave fruition.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so now you're ready.
Okay, yeah. So pranamoy is then where we look at it from the economic point of view. Because if something goes wrong, that's it, it's finished, it's eternal, it's this and that. You know, the next moment you start a new business and you're back on your feet again. But you know what I'm saying? But that's how the pranamoy works. So these ones is that you make it up, and when it's broken, that's it, finished, because you made the rules.
Yes.
But dharma means we don't make the rules, God makes the rules. That's the difference, because dharma means it's theistic. You can't have an atheistic dharma. Right? You can have an atheistic means your ultimate attempt, intent may be, but all the followers of the Vedas all accept that there's a Supreme. And the Supreme is the one who made the rules. They didn't happen by chance. Is that right? So this whole thing of just slowly, slowly separating off that there's transcendental consciousness, absorption in Krishna. There's the good qualities needed for that. And then there are the mechanical aspects of the, how you say, of the skills, right, required. Does that make sense?
Do that one again.
Sorry, I can't say it in Russian. We'll just have to start in English again.
Yes, okay.
Okay. So, you have... Are you on to the next thing, right? Okay. We're making the distinction between Krishna consciousness, the good qualities and character that is supportive of that Krishna consciousness, and the skills that are therefore used in support.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
So, in other words, Krishna consciousness is the primary aspect.
Yes.
In the secondary, then we have good qualities, and we have the proper work, right? Guna and karma. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's then what's going to define. So you can, on one level, you can say the Brahman, then on this, how we're defining now, is the Brahman would define the skills.
Yeah. Yes.
Because you're talking about what's the dynamics of Krishna's energies and how do they interact.
Yes.
Right? The qualities means then you have to, is the gunas, is that which qualities are used with which action, who is supposed to be doing that action, so that's what dharma is.
Yes.
Right? So the modern is we're just going to use skills and become, you know, good.
Yeah.
So that's even the lowest level of pranamaya.
Yes.
Right? So, and even you can even catch it that there is the element of sophistication in anamaya. Because
yes.
Right, generally we just take an anamaya pranamaya, but we see some days Bhaktivinoda Kaur is dividing even these two up.
Yeah.
Right? Because you have someone on anamaya who's just into his senses, just gross, and it's obvious. Yeah. Then you have those who are just into their senses, but they're sophisticated.
Yes. Yes.
You know, they may be scientific, technological, but it's just about themselves. Yes. Right? Then you get into pranamaya where it's about others.
Yeah.
Right, and then you have, you know, the thing of cooperation and all that, but it's more on, you know, on the science and all these kind of things like that. That'll make it, and then the higher end is, oh, all these good qualities will make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so therefore you have the ideal pranamoyas, and you have the practical pranamoyas.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then when that extends, where you accept the laws of God, that they're His laws, then you get into the theistic moralism.
Yes.
Right, so that's the point is. Theistic and atheistic morality is the same thing. It's just whether you connect it to God or not. Connected to God is more scientific. You're less connected, it's less scientific.
Mm-hmm.
So having come to the platform of theistic morality, then there's three options, right? One is karma, one is jnana, and one is bhakti.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So in other words, from dharma, you can then go for the platform of going to the heavenly planets and, you know, enjoying life here.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be just situated in dharma. You're using dharma, the same activities, for moksha.
Yeah.
Right? For vijnanamaya. Then you're using the same things for anandamaya.
Yeah.
Right? But you see is that dharma is the central platform of what it is you do. Right? Then the same thing done in an unscientific way, where you just have a touch of the morality. Right, that? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then you have the skills.
Yes.
So then that will be pranamoya.
Yes.
Because the problem is, the sense it's not focused individually. It means everybody should be compassionate. Everybody should be nice. Everybody should be good. Everybody should be taught. We're not saying this one should be tolerant here, this one shouldn't be, this one that. You understand? Even if we talk about, oh no, but you should be compassionate to this person. But it's a matter of what's their position. It's not about the dharma, what they're supposed to do.
Yes.
It's just that's the feeling that goes with it. So it's an unscientific application of morality. So that's why it's atheistic.
Yes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Is that... Yeah.
So the theistic moral, it has to be theistic, but the specific theistic can be way off. It's not that they necessarily have a clear picture of...
No, what I was talking in the second part, I was talking about the atheistic.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just
but
saying...
But the theistic, means you have three things.
Yeah.
Karma, jnana, or bhakti.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're doing a wide range.
Yeah, exactly.
That means from enjoying here to going to the heavenly planets, right?
Yes.
To getting to Brahman, to going back to Godhead.
Yes.
So that has the widest range.
Yeah.
A pranamoy just means more a sophisticated animal. It means animals that work in groups.
Yes.
You know, ants, termites, you know, pack of lions, herd of elephants, bees, a bunch of, you know, what do you call it? Hyenas, I think they work in packs, you know, like that.
We would put them on a higher level of consciousness than your average modern scientist.
And also in a pack.
Yeah.
Right,
something's going on.
Right, you know, so it's like that. So that's pranamoy. And you see some of them more gentle, some more like a pack of wolves is not as nice as, you know, let's say, you know, a herd of deer or something, you know. Like that. But all it is they're that more idyllic pranamoy, and then these are the lower. And then you have the animals that just function on their own. You know, they just come together for a short time, then go apart, and, you know. Yeah.
You see, during the time of Srila Prabhupada, he wasn't really emphasizing any skills in his disciples.
No.
Whatever skills they had, he engaged them in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Knowledge, he tried to give it, but the most important is Krishna consciousness.
Yes, yes.
But nowadays, even you go to the Bhakti Shastri course, and it's knowledge-oriented. It's not much, you know, less about skills, but it's not as much as about Krishna. You have to know stuff, and then you're good.
Hence we have review questions. Keeps people happy. Yeah, it's the whole thing. So what we're saying is that, and then what's happening, it's coming into what we were discussing before, it's taken for granted. Because you say, why do you have to do that? Because you need this and that, you know. But at some point you'll get around it, it's for Krishna. But depending on what it is, you've seen when we do that, that, you know, it takes anywhere from 5 to 20 steps to get there. You know, and generally by the end it's kind of like, oh, you mean Krishna consciousness? You know, you weren't talking about all... Because we're so skill-oriented that sometimes we forget the obvious, which is Krishna consciousness. You know, because it's just so simple. Is that, of course, you know, everybody knows that. Now, you know, the skill is the taste. Mm-hmm. So then the problem is we get into this taste of a sophisticated conditioning. That I have more knowledge, I'm more expert. Because never in a million years is anyone on what you're talking about mastery of the subject. It just, it's not even... It's so far not part of it that it's not even known that it's part of it, right? You know, it's not like, oh yeah, that's later, right now we're being practiced. No, it's just it doesn't even know it exists. So it's just the more expert you are, then that's your symptom of advancement. So that means it also limits how far you can take advancement. Like that. But as they're saying, that means, as we're saying, from this definition we're using in this take, that's coming from understanding the Brahman, masculine and feminine principle, which those in that category aren't inclined towards. You know, it means you want to make that work, you want to make skills work, this is how it works. But the point higher than that is you have to have the qualities. Because the point is I can do the skill, but do I have the nature to do it? Am I the one supposed to be doing it? Do I have the character to do it? That's not discussed at all. It's simply if someone desires it. As long as you're open-minded in that area of where they feel that they want, then it's glorious. If it's an area that they don't, you know, if the actual manager wants to control things, oh, this is not good at all. But if the guy who's completely useless and has been in the background for the last, you know, 20 years, you know, he really wants to be part of it. Why can't we be compassionate? Why can't we be all in companies? He's been here. He's a person. He has ideas. You understand? So as long as it doesn't, the modern compassion, as long as it doesn't go against the principle of anti, you know, how you say? What is that? I brought it up again. Anti-establishment.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism?
Yes, anti-disestablishmentarianism. As long as it doesn't militate against that, we're good. So that's the whole thing, is to be able to distinguish what levels of consciousness we're working at. Because when we discuss it like this, it becomes very, you know, blankly or bluntly or clearly understandable. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is we're trying to get to the point that it's the Bhagavan aspect that makes it perfect. Otherwise, perfection, yes, is there on the platform of Jnana. But the real perfection is that devotion to the person. So that's the point that's missed here. And so he's not working on the skills. He's fallen into the position of qualities. Right? He's fallen down to that, how you say, Paramatma platform. Right? You know, like we were saying before, oh, he'll fall down to the mode of goodness. Right? You know, so he's fallen down into that platform. So it's not exactly like us.
No.
Well, that's not we would have to fall up.
Yes, that would.
So yeah. That's the primary of the secondary?
That's the primary of the secondary. So yes. Just like in the primary, there's the primary and secondary. So the devotion, and then the medium you express it. Mother Yashoda does all her services towards Krishna. That's the secondary. But when that reflects here, then there, the primary is the love for Krishna, right? And the secondary is the activities, right? Here, it's the same thing. The primary is our lust, right? And the secondary is then the activities we use to express that. Does that make sense? So it's the same thing. It's a reflection. So So just as we don't necessarily see the primary in the devotional, and we don't see the primary in the primary, we don't see the primary in the secondary either. So we always look at the secondary. So when we see devotional, we see just what they do. And when we see the secondary, we just see what people do. You know, I mean, that's how much of modern, how you say, economics and marketing goes on, is what the big guy's doing, you can copy that. The mentality that he has and why he's able to do that, that we don't get into, because that you don't have the qualifications for. But at least you can wear the same pants and shoes the guy's wearing. Right? Does that make sense? You know?
Is it a quality of the Madhyam Bhakta that he begins to see the primary and therefore appreciate
it? Means you can see it at any stage. So you could say that's devotion, a pure devotional service. That's why the Madhyamas advance in devotional service. And a neophyte can have that. The difference will be is the neophyte may appreciate that, though he may not have as much scriptural knowledge to back it up. Right? So in other words, if you press him on it, he may not be able to explain it. That's what that would be. So that would be a neophyte pure devotee. Right? Does that make sense? But generally the Madhyama will have that view and he can explain it. Up to a point. Right? But the Uttama then has that and can explain it to any point, no matter what is brought up. Yes. Does that make sense? So we see what we're trying to distinguish here is that the good qualities only become useful when they're connected to Krishna. Otherwise, if we can't see that, we'll think, oh, he's compassionate, throw out compassion. Right? How much is that a common thing amongst serious devotees? Right? You know, oh, that's all Maya. Right? No, the point is it has to be connected to the Lord. That's what makes it glorious. It's not connected to the Lord. That's what makes it not glorious. Right? Within the material it will be. So therefore, then, since it is a valued quality and it's supposed to be used in the service of the Lord, it has something that is there. So then we catch it, but not anymore from its, nature of its secondary aspect connected to the primary, but we take it as the primary of the secondary. And then because that becomes the primary of the secondary, we don't see the actual primary. You understand? So we see compassion as the goal. Like when we talk about community development, what are we talking about? I mean, you'll have some, yes, we'll all become Krishna conscious, we'll all chant, we'll all do that, but that's already going on. So where's the community? And all the economic, for everybody, everyone's got something, everyone, it sounds like, you know what I'm saying? Any standard political platform that, modern governments and those who are interested in the political field, the ideal political field project. So there's no difference at all. That's why, therefore, political correctness, because it's a political platform. Right? So we should understand this. Political correctness simply means trying to bring out these good qualities, but unscientifically, that's why we call it atheistic morality. It's pranamoy. Because it's not bring out the compassion, but who's supposed to be compassionate to who and how. That's dharma. That's the next level of consciousness up. But that's not it. No, in this case, you have to be compassionate, but who said?
And how do you define?
Yeah, and how do you define what's to be done? Because we see the guy sitting next to you who's making this, statement, go down the road a bit, he's making the same mistake, but we deal with it totally differently. Right? So it's not scientific. The goalposts can move as you like them, or let's say the crosshairs can move as you like them. Right? Does that make sense? This one, your crosshairs are like a Christian film.
Yeah.
When something happens.
We could use swastika.
Swastika crosshairs.
A longer,
yeah. Or we use the six-sided triangle, and then you just get the center of that, and then there's a dot in the center of that. Bring that up to the Israeli army.
They already using that.
Oh, they're already using that. Okay. So is this clear? What are we trying to... What is the fine point of the analysis here? This is what we're trying to get, because that's what Prabhupada is saying. A little discrepancy. But the main point is that little discrepancy is that we've moved it from that focus on Krishna to something else, but it's not that compassion is a bad thing. Right? That's not the problem. Right? Like you can see in Vrindavan, all the animals, they deal nicely with each other and that, the tigers, all the ferocious animals are very peaceful. So it's one of the qualities of Vrindavan. So it's not the bad thing. It's just that because the shift has gone from the actual primary of Krishna consciousness into the platform of, you know, the liberation, and then the and then applying the compassion. Right? So therefore, because it's just on that, something's out, because you either have to be connecting one way or you connect the other way. Right? So in other words, I can take the path from, like we were saying, of the qualities, like a paramatma, and use it to go towards Krishna or away from Krishna. Yes. That's the point of dharma. It can go either way. Yes. 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 Right? So we're not saying he's on the platform of pranamaya. We're using that example to show how you can take it in the modern context. Is that...
That's the context we are working with.
Yes, because that's generally the environment we're in. That's what I was saying, is if you have the Vedic environment, then we're not working in that. It would be a natural thing. So then you say something's wrong, you'd have to be discussing Shastra to qualify why something's wrong.
Yeah.
Right? But now it's just people's feelings. And the more people that have that feeling, then the more it becomes fact. So vox populi becomes the authority. Right? You know, that's if you're being nice. Otherwise, it's called mob. You know what I'm saying? You know, people are freaky about mob, but what if it's a bunch of people that are saying, "Oh, he's wrong." You know what I'm saying? So, but if you can give a name to it, then it's not a mob anymore.
Right? Community.
Yeah, it's still the same mob point. Is that the mob just felt and they were there's some element of, communation,
yes.
You know, between themselves.
The pitchforks were already out.
Yes.
Communalism.
Communalism. That communification brings them together.
Right. They become communified.
Yes, communified, right. So, because of that, then it's right. Mm-hmm. Right? But now if something changes and then someone goes, "Well, that's not good," then they go, "Oh, yeah, you're right." And then that spreads through that same community. Then now it was wrong.
Yes.
You understand? So there's no standard. So this is what we have to be very careful about. We're trying to tell the difference between, you know, platform of liberation and pure bhakti. You know, so if we can catch that, we should be able to catch the difference between dharma and upadharma.
Yes.
You know, science and sentiment.
Yes.
Right. So.
Yeah, yes. Maharaj, it's always the same thing that is dependent on the intent.
Yes, the intent. So that's it. The bhakti is that because the levels of consciousness means what's your intent. See, it's like, let's say you have the person who's following dharma very nicely, but what he wants from it is sense gratification. So he's performing the duties of dharma, but he's actually, his consciousness is on anima.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Or they're performing dharma, but they want liberation. Right? Mm. Or they're performing dharma because they like dharma, and they want to be known as dharma, and they like the benefits of that, and the, you know, just the whole environment.
It's the purusharta.
Yes, so the purusharta, your intent is that. But the Vedic thing is whatever your intent, it should function from dharma. Therefore, there's one culture for everybody. And then you can interpret it on all these different levels.
Yes.
Right? In other words, you can take the Dharma, the activities that are there, and interpret it on five different levels.
Yes.
So that's why that's the common point. So when we shift it to Upadharma, it's not scientific. It doesn't accommodate everybody.
Yes.
It'll accommodate, you know, one group at a time, and sometimes two groups can get together as long as there's a third group that they both don't like.
Yes. That's what it's defined by. We find those we don't like.
Yeah, and then once that problem's over, then we don't have to like each other anymore.
Yes. Yes.
You know, like it was very interesting, is that you have, you know, a bunch of, how you'd say, I'm not sure what the term would be, but basically tribes, or, you know, Afghanistan, you have these tribes, warring tribes. Right, you know, the families, and they have heads of their families and prominent members, and this has been going on for thousands and thousands of years, right? Neither one of them likes each other, and nobody gets along, and you know, nothing happens there because there's so much warring between themselves that, you know, except for a few caves, there's not a whole lot else happening, right? Okay, so then, seeing that opportunity, then in walks the bear. Right? Right? And competent, powerful, and everything. But then what happens? Because it's like, you know, they like their own brand of village politics. Then they all get together because they have a common culture. And then they fight, and the bear has to leave. Right? If he had a tail, he could put it between his legs. But he doesn't have a tail big enough for that. So whatever, he leaves anyway.
Yes.
Right?
That's the primary.
Yeah. Now, as soon as the bear leaves, what happens? Immediately they go back to warring with each other. That's the unscientific social structure. People will get together if there's a common enemy, and as soon as that's gone, again they'll fight with each other. So if you use that, that'll be a problem. So that's why Dharma, you're supposed to do what you're doing, whether, you know, you like the person or not, whether the situation is what you like or not. It's still, this is what you do. That's why the Vedic system, Varnashram, is stressed, simply because it's the common culture by which you can attain all the other, you know, positions of consciousness. Right? It's the medium through which you can express all five levels of consciousness to their best. If you use Varnashram, you'll get better sense gratification, you'll get better economics. Right? You get better liberation. You get better, you know, you understand? Because it is such a good system. It's the best for expressing.
Yes.
Is that what I'm saying? Yeah. Yes. So that's why it's recommended. It's not something foreign. It's whatever you want on the way of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, that's where you're going to get it.
Yes.
But it's originally for expressing bhakti, right? Prema. That's its actual point. But being reflected, then you're given four different ways you can do it. Because if you don't break it up into four, how do you keep yourself busy from time immemorial, right? So you can keep going around and around and around. You know how you say, like the goldfish. They go to one side of the thing, then they turn around, they forgot about, wow, check this out. And then they go to the other side. And then, yeah, wow, okay, that's been there, done that. Oh, check this out. Goes the other way. Right? Because other fish, you got to put them in the aquarium with all kinds of stuff and rocks and sand and this and that. Goldfish just need a glass bowl and they're good.
Simple living.
Yeah.
They don't live very long, though.
Yeah. Well, all that excitement.
Yeah.
Hard after a while.
You know, the bass just sits there on the bottom of the thing, you know, just looking, you know, so they live longer, right? Yes.
Someone on the level of animal.
Right.
Then they're still performing activities of Dharma, but their consciousness is...
Their consciousness is there.
That's the primary, and the activity is the secondary.
How do you get Kama Shastra? Kama Shastra means I'm following Dharma, but I want sense gratification. Artha means I follow Dharma to get Artha. Right? Then Dharma, I follow Dharma to get the facilities, you know, a pious facilities, maintain the pious life. I like the pious lifestyle. See, pranamoy means I like using the pious lifestyle to get what I want, but it's not about the pious lifestyle. Therefore, you always find the loophole in the pranamoyic philosophies that when you're interacting with others, you have to use the pranamoyic ideals. But when you're on your own in your own house, it doesn't matter. As long as it doesn't bother anybody else, an ideal as long as no one else knows about it. That's the whole thing. And anamoya is just as long as you get sense gratification, we're good. Right? So here, if you follow that, you can get liberation. That's the point, is it's the platform. That's why there's shastras on all four. But all those are useless unless they're connected to Krishna. That's the point. They may be nice, you may get the best you can get, but still the soul is not this. Right? That's the aphorism, the soul is that. So unless we understand that we're transcendental, then we don't actually get any benefit. So that's what we're trying to discern here, because we're so used to it being connected that to separate it is hard, because when we separate it, then kind of our identity goes. So you have to do it very carefully. So you can see how the identity remains, and now you can work with it. You're working with the same thing, just now a different perspective. So,
the performance of dharma simply for the sake of it, what should be done,
yes.
Is that a platform that can be maintained, or is it just temporary?
I would say is you could probably do it for quite a long time, but at some point you need some taste, because otherwise it's just, because goodness always has passion and ignorance in it, so you will at some point do something else.
Some desire.
Yeah. But that's why then the Shastra has scriptures that deal with all those desires. You want wealth, then Arkashastra is there. You want, you know, whatever you want, it's there. You want health, then Ayurveda is there. You want, you understand? So that way then they can engage their consciousness in Shastra, so at least they're following the Lord's order. Therefore, dharma. Does that make sense? So, that dharma being performed without understanding that it only has a value when it's connected to bhakti. That's the point that we're discussing here. Because it just, that's why he's saying this, worked out with great caution, because he's gotten to that point, but now because you're on such a refined point, that little bit of deviation, that can make the difference. Right? So that compassion that's so useful, in fact, that's one of the symptoms of a devotee, is this compassion. Right? Lord Chaitanya's mission is based on compassion. But the point is, what's that compassion about? It's the soul developing their relationship with the Lord. Right? But here, with the deer, then your compassion is there, but unless you're maintaining that connection to the Lord, the deer's not going to do it. And you can't actually train the deer to do that. You understand? So then that's the point, is that fine little point is compassion being such a useful quality, it's been missed its connection to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Therefore, that compassion is, it says, overly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? Overly compassionate for this infant deer. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's the things that we have to catch there. We can't throw out compassion. But we can't say, okay, then this is it, because that's generally the thing.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Oh, we don't need varnashram. No, it's important, it does this. Oh, so it's just about varnashram. No, it's not just about varnashram, it's about devotion. Oh, so we don't need it, you know, like that. Yes, we need it. Oh, then it's just, that's the,
Over and over.
Yeah, back and forth and back and forth.
Right.
So, yes.
Can we say that always function on the level of dharma, but for the personal secondary reasons, would be either anamoy or pranamoy, not higher than that?
No, because personal reasons can mean I personally think it's better to get out of here.
Okay, so moksha.
Yeah, or I personally think it would be so much better than being in, let's say, the upper west side to be in Indra's planet, or at least Petri Loka. You know what I'm saying? The facilities in the upper west side is great, the view over the Central Park is really nice, but I'm sure the view in Petri Loka is much better. You understand? So you can be self-centered on all of these. That's why we study them, analyze them one by one so we know, but when you apply them, it's always going to be a mix. So only when it gets to bhakti then that mix of all these different levels finds its proper position. Does that make sense? But outside of that, then each one will come up and it will have its strength or weakness depending on where it's being applied.
And when it's not based on Dharma, then it will naturally be Ana or Pranamoya?
Then it's going to be Ana Pranamoya. If it's not on Dharma, it's automatically Ana Pranamoya. So when devotees say, oh, we don't need Varnashram, then we're saying, oh, then we're going to function on Pranamoya at best, if we're talking community. Much of the time, everyone just does their own thing, so it's kind of like a pleasant Anamoya. You know, it's like, you know, we're nice. You know, like you said, sophisticated pranamoy. I mean, anamoy. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the thing is that you only have those two options. If you follow Varnashram, then you have the option of heavenly planets, liberation, or going back to Godhead. Right? As your kind of direction. But if you don't, then pranamoy, and pranamoy is really not scientific. Though they're the ones that claim to be the scientists. But the fun part is the scientists are in Anamoya.
Yeah.
Like that. And then this lower level of consciousness and the Pranamoya says, oh, we're so scientific. But actually, no, they're more sentimental. The scientists aren't sentimental. You know? Yeah.
Is there some level of Pranamoya in the scientific community that's kind of like a
consensus? Oh, they use together as a community, but then it's actually just for themselves. Just like, yeah. Why is it that let us say, okay, just to give a different example, because I wouldn't know how to say it exactly in the academy, but let us say a judge. Now, if a judge, a bona fide judge, you know, who is accepted by the bar, makes a decision, then can the judge ever be blamed? No, never. They're above any suspicion. Now, if someone wants to appeal, then it might go to either that or to some other judges, and then what decision they make, then that's absolute. But it's not that what they made, the one before, doesn't remain as a precedent. Because if your thing goes up to that point and it's solved there, then it's done. So you can quote the one who someone else went to a higher court and overturned it. You understand? So that establishes their position. But why is their position like that? What gives them that authority? That because they said, then that's the way it is.
It's a position.
It's a position, okay, but what's the importance of that position?
They follow certain laws.
They follow laws, okay, and then why do we need these laws?
For the society to function
properly. Otherwise the society can't function. In other words, there must be an authority.
Mm-hmm.
But what is our authority for saying that this is the method of using authority?
What we've decided.
What we've decided, and generally it's by, you know,
what's popular.
You know, hundreds of thousands of years of just kind of seeing what works.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, so...
So we're comfortable with that? We've established our point. Where does God's laws come into that?
Yeah,
so that's pure pranamoy.
Mm.
There is no religion in that.
No.
It has its morality in that we're accepting the intellectual platform, but that's coming from that... Krishna, it's the Brahmins are the authority because they speak from scripture. But that does not come into the conversation, never will come into the conversation. You understand? So we can say why they're there, because we know Dharma. But those on the platform of Pranamoy, and what we got to, that's as high as they can get. It's a practical, if you don't run it this way, the society falls apart. So it's not actually that, the point being that if you could run it a different way and the society wouldn't fall apart, it is an option.
Mm, yeah.
But Dharma is, no, this is God's laws, there is no other option, this is the way it's done.
Yes.
Then you apply it time, place, and circumstance. But this is the authority. So that's where Dharma starts, is when authority is God's authority. And Pranamoya is there when it's not necessarily God's authority.
Yes.
But the thing is in the Vedic system can accommodate this kind of lower mentality by having shastras that work in this area and acknowledging that artha is a mentality that the living entity has. Therefore, they will follow the lifestyle of Dharma, but their consciousness is on artha.
Yes. And create as little havoc as possible.
They create as little havoc as possible, like Duryodhana. Yeah. Right? Lifestyle he's following. Right? But then he's not following when it comes to the Pandavas. Right? Something.
Yes.
Yeah. So then it's anamoy. So that's why it's so destructive.
So then when we say that these modern scientists are on anamoy, they could technically be on pranamoy.
Maybe personally, but yes, as an academy, they can't be. Because it has to be what you see with the senses is your fact, is your authority.
But they're also using each other as like peer review and stuff like
that. But it's all based on what its foundation. They may use that, yes, that's the pranamaya. That's, you may say, there's the academic community, so that's pranamaya.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But the point is what we're saying there, it never gets higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason that the academic has to be, you know, a sacrosanct is about, but even there, as the teachers, you can go after them. Judges, generally, you can't.
Yes.
Right? It's just frowned upon.
Yes.
But teachers, you could. But that's only now.
Yes.
If you go back, you know, 50, 60 years, you couldn't do that.
They were pretty much above
they were also like judges.
Yeah.
You know, doctors, you know, how you say, that they were just on that platform. Because it was less far away from Dharma, but as we go, then these other things come up and become more and more prominent.
Yes.
So it breaks down whatever. Because Dharma means there's authority;
yes,
it's a theistic morality.
Yes.
But pranamoy means it's atheistic morality, and so then the authority for it comes from the people, not from God. Theistic means it comes from God. Atheistic means it doesn't come from God. Right? It doesn't mean they don't believe in God. It just means the authority for the lifestyle.
Yes.
Right? There's God. I pray to God and this and that. But what you do day to day, who said, does God set the authority for that? You know what I'm saying? There's nothing. You know what I'm saying? What do you call it? Like what we said, I don't know if they still do it, but I remember reading one book. It was talking about, you know, it was talking about animals, you know, and, you know, cause, you know, animal book on. So they're eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, right? So in eating, then it was talking about this one particular animal, and he was saying they were rather Catholic in their diet. Because Catholic means all accommodating.
Yes.
So it means they ate anything. So that's the whole point. Is that it's monotheistic and it's philosophy, but in this lifestyle, it's Catholic. Anything goes, basically.
Mm.
Basically, you can't marry more than one woman, but as long as no one knows about it, if you're with more than one, then no one's not going to really say anything, right? You can't eat humans. That's not good. And
that's it.
Steven?
Hmm. You can't steal if anybody finds out about it, or you know, things like you can't. In other words, it can't be outside of the accepted. It's honor amongst thieves, like that. You know, so it means our country could go into another country, take all of their resources, and that's not stealing.
Oh no,
we're benefiting the savages. What will they do with all that stuff?
Exactly, liberating them.
You know. That. You know, what do the Incas need with all those gold spoons and bowls,
exactly,
you know, that they're eating out of? You know, they could very easily, you know, use
they
something
could cut
else.
Themselves.
Yeah, you know, like that. You know. It's heavy. They drop it on the toe. It's going to be bad for their health. You know?
Good thing we came along.
Yeah, you know, if you use a clay pot, then when it drops on the toe, it'll break and, you know, we'll be less bad. So you see here is that this fine discrimination, that little discrepancy, that's what we have to be open to. Right? That's the point we get here. Then it can go.
Mm-hmm.
As will be revealed later, in later verses, Maharaj Bharata had to accept the body of his deer due to being overly compassionate for this infant deer. We should be compassionate by raising one from the material platform to the spiritual platform. Otherwise, at any moment, our spiritual advancement may be spoiled. Right? So all the dealings that we're doing in material life, I mean, not in spiritual life, our dealings with others, there is that element of compassion, but it has to be connected to Krishna, and we have to know that connection. Yes?
Back to the previous point, I just wanted to point out that with the materialist, reductionist scientist, there's no concept of free will or human agency, because you're just a pack of neurons and particles in space. And so any discussion of morality is strictly hypocritical. Like, they would have to be a nihilist according if they were to follow the corresponding lifestyle with their philosophy.
Okay.
So there's just that hypocrisy built in.
Okay. Yeah,
morality
yeah.
requires some kind of choice or decision or agency.
Okay. Very good.
There's no overlap between the philosophy and the practical. There is no application.
Yeah.
They live their life in completely opposite way to what they're actually saying.
But they even admit, like, this is what I practice in the lab, but when I go home with my, you know, daughter and son, and, you know, it's a totally different realm. I can't possibly apply that in my personal life. Otherwise, when I go to the restaurant to order something, you know, there's no question of choice. It's just... not me making the decision.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be able to function.
Because, yeah. That's
the thing.
Like, you know, do they decide to go to the bathroom or not? Thank you. Yes.
By preaching, we're naturally showing compassion to the people.
Right.
But sometimes you have to... You know, they expect that it takes a certain form.
Yes.
And this story, especially many people sentimentally, they will think, yeah, he's good.
He
does what he should be doing.
Right.
But in preaching, sometimes it doesn't happen. You have to be strong. You have to be forceful.
Yes.
So how to balance, you know, those things? You know, showing compassion to the real compassion to the people, but then they should feel, you know, that something happens.
Yes. And then the point is, because when you're dealing on the transcendental platform, then you're going to, well, no, on any platform, you're going to have the soul itself, the consciousness, but then they're going to have senses, they're going to have a body, they're going to have a position, relationship, activities that are natural to their, whoever they are. And so that compassion has to be fit into that context. Mm-hmm. Like that. So that's where it goes. And so how do we define that context? That's again then where we can either take the scientific, what the Vedic recommends, or reject that and take whatever the modern recommends today,
mm-hmm.
which then tomorrow may not work.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the difficulty. So it's not a very scientific position. And it's not, it doesn't create, because the idea is that gain and safety should be there if you're pious. But the problem with Vox Populi is it doesn't generate gain and safety. It may, for at the moment, but let's say it adjusts, right? Let's say that leaders of society are acting in a particular way. And, you know, it's stable, they're getting money and everything. But let's say 10, 20 years down the line, then now it's politically correct to look at it differently. Now they're the bad guys. Now they could lose everything. So we have to remember, is 20 years ago, they were the leaders of society because society valued that. And now as it changes, then suddenly they're the bad guys. So if that was valued then, that means everybody's the bad guy. Right? Because if anybody supported it at the time, they're the bad guy. Does that make sense? So that's the problem with this modern thing. You have to follow Krishna's laws, and then you always have a standard by which to function. Then it can be good. Does that make sense? Then you can make standards. You can things will work. Otherwise, then they're constantly changing. So this using political correctness as the standard. It's whatever is politically correct today. Tomorrow it'll be not. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like political correct is, you know, gurus and this and that. You can't have this authority. But at the same time, GBC has never been more absolute than in the present.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll contradict, and then you move it a little bit, and then it'll adjust again.
Yes.
So that's the thing, is that's the problem when you just use, it's not based on authority, then it won't work. That's why the Vedic version is there, to make sure that no matter what the time, the place, the circumstance is, it will always be applicable. Otherwise, what works today, then tomorrow will be seen as bad. You know what I'm saying? And so what does that mean? We're our own worst enemies. Mm-hmm. So the same community that creates the vox populi sticks someone up on the top. As it moves and someone else is on the top, then whoever was in that group is... So everybody, you know, ends up on the bottom. Right? You can say everyone's on the top for a while, but it's insecure. So the Vedic system is, naturally everybody can, you know, be situated nicely. It'll be secure. They'll have facility. And it'll be stable because it's based on the same principles. Is that...
Yeah, so do people... cannot appreciate, you know, preaching at the moment, still we should preach.
Yes, yes. The point is, but you just find what words, what examples, what time frame to use. Because it may be, it's good to say something now, but their mentality couldn't handle it. You might let it, and but you're not leaving it. It's like using the clutch.
Yeah.
You know, you're in control, but you're just waiting for the moment to let the clutch out. Mm-hmm. It's not that... oh, we can't do it, just leave it, and then everyone forgets about it. No, you're always conscious of it. You know, it's just like when you're cooking, you're doing something else, but you're still thinking of what you're cooking. So even you're on the other side of the kitchen, you're there, and you know when you have to come back. But people go to the other side of the kitchen and aren't conscious of the cooking. They're the ones that forget, and then something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Like that. So the preaching's like that, is you have to maintain... maintain the consciousness of what you're trying to get. So you're preaching, and from that preaching, then you're going to show that compassion, but you have to show it in a way that they can digest it. But if you're always consistently there and proper dealings, that's why the etiquette, the culture. The culture doesn't have a separate thing. Oh, we've been so uncultured in the past, we have to be cultured, and that's the important thing. No, the culture is because if you're cultured, people like you. And if you're Krishna conscious and they like you, there's a good chance they'll become Krishna conscious. Right? The parents are Krishna conscious and they deal nicely with the kids. Kids like the parents. Then there's a good chance they'll like Krishna consciousness. Right? You know, so A equals B, B equals C, A equals C. Right? So that's the whole point. But if the parents are Krishna conscious, but they don't deal nicely with the kids, so the kids don't like the parents, they may on their own pick Krishna conscious, but they also may not, because the parents are doing that. You understand? So that's the whole thing. Is then the preacher, that's why it is. The preacher, you know, the manager, the parent... Does that make sense? You know, they have to see in this way of the absolute truth is there, and then there's the culture and etiquette. And so by that, then you can make it work. So that's why it's recommended. But you have to know the difference between what is actual tattva, rasa, how they match. Because otherwise here he's made a mistake. Right? He's put too much emphasis on the compassion. And not why compassion is important. Right.
Isn't that the tattva?
Yeah, it could be there, but also just the rasis drop, you know, in that from Anandamoy down into Swargiya rasa. Mm-hmm. You know, means compassion. All these are all the tastes of Swargiya rasa, right? And Ananda rasa is placing Krishna. Like that. So he's not dropping down to Partiva like we do.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that. But he's dropped down into, you know, what we're trying to get to. Right?
Yeah, that's why this is so difficult.
Yeah, that's the difficulty.
Yeah.
But the point is, it's a formula, so it doesn't matter where you apply it. The principle is still the same. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So we're all good? You have something? Yeah.
Why would we become an idea and not like a person?
Because he thought of the deer, not of himself taking care of the deer. Is that? Because you go to wherever you think. Because the subtle body carries you to the next. The gross body is finished, but the subtle body carries you to the next gross body. So the subtle body is thinking of a deer, it takes the form of a deer. That's what we're saying. The mind is infinitely mutable. It's constantly changing its shape and form. Because whatever you think about, you know, through which sense, that's the form it takes. Like we were saying, you look at the column, the mind takes the form of the column. Otherwise, how do you perceive the kala? So you think of the deer, it takes the form of the deer. The gross body is simply a gross manifestation of what shape the mind is in. So if the mind's in the shape of a deer, it becomes a deer. So that's why if we think of Krishna, then it becomes transcendental. Does that make sense? Yeah.
This is the difficulty. When we said we are not the body, it's one thing, yes. But we are not the mind.
Yes, that becomes more difficult. So that's what we're introducing. So we saw how karmas can be engaged in the Lord's service, how you can be Krishna conscious and connect by using those elements of Brahman and Paramatma to see it where it connects, and then think of Bhagavan.
Yeah.
And so those tools of the rituals and all that is what was discussed before. Now we're starting to discuss the subtle body.
Yes.
How to discriminate there. Right? And the other, you know, before, is just on the gross body, the activities, we can see how much discussion was there.
Yes.
Right? You know, that's a big deal. And then now it's, again, quiet, because the mind? What do you mean mind? I am the mind. What do you mean? You know? Oh, yeah, I'm not this body, but I'm this mind, right? You know, so that's the thing. So the next step, and then...
Yes. Moving.
Yeah. You understand? So, okay, I'm not this false ego. Okay, I can adjust that, but I'm not the mind? You know, come on, let's get real. You
know. Who am I?
Yeah. So that's the point.
Yes.
Yeah. So at this marriage, we need to be... prepare to the option that we are not the mind.
Yes, we have to be open to the suggestion. So that's why, just as we're saying in the preaching, now it's at fifth canto, this is being brought out very nicely. Because if it was brought out earlier, it would be too much. So we bring it out as they can digest. But it's not that, it's not scientific and it's not progressive. You know, but it's step by step, that's the thing. So somebody can move quick, like Maharaj... Kadvanga, you know, in one moment, 1/11th of a second, you can get him from, you know, how you say, materialist up to prema, you know, so that's the most effective, and Krishna recommends that first in the Gita, and if not, then you follow step by step, you know, like that, and so then the Pancharatrik will be faster. In other words, the Bhagavat's the fastest, next is the Pancharatrik, next slower than that is the Veda. You know, so be nice and be good. But, you know, it means no. The next is then you follow the rules and regulations like that. If you can't do that, then the fourth is be nice, be good.
Yeah.
Because at least that's better than being a Mayavadi.
And then cultivate knowledge.
Yes. That's the lowest.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even mention be a rat bag. It's not. It's not an option. We should be compassionate by raising one from the material platform to the spiritual platform. Otherwise, at any moment, our spiritual advancement may be spoiled. And we may fall down to the material platform. So if it's not, we're taking them from the material to the spiritual, our own spiritual life may be spoiled. But theirs also. Right? Bharat Maharaj's compassion for the deer was the beginning of his fall down into the material world. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Gradually, Bharat Maharaj became very affectionate towards the deer. He began to raise it and maintain it by giving it grass. He was always careful to protect it from the attacks of tigers and other animals. When it itched, he petted it, and in this way he always tried to keep it in a comfortable condition. He sometimes kissed it out of love. Being attached to raising the deer, Maharaj Bharat forgot the rules and regulations for the advancement of spiritual life, and he gradually forgot to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So this is the problem. It's not that he's taking care of the deer just because this is what it needs at the time, you know, but he forgot also his you know, practice of Krishna consciousness.
He's kind of enjoying it, isn't he?
Appear so, but the that kind of aspect, we're a little careful because he is Bharat Maharaj, right? You know, I mean, a huge amount of chapters are dedicated to him, so, you know, he wouldn't
we'll let that one
yeah, fly. That we get. Point is just, this is what can happen. In other words, let's say the managing, and you get too much into the management and forget about your sadhana.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or like I remember one devotee, he was collecting for Janmashtami, big program. So he'd get up in the morning, just, you know, take a bath, and that, eat something, go out and collecting. Come back late at night, come back, eat something, go to sleep. And after some time, Prabhupada asked him, how's it going, like that, collection's going along like this, you're chanting your rounds. Oh no, Prabhupada, I'm so busy doing this.
Yeah.
Prabhupada says, what's the point then?
Yeah.
Right? So in other words, your service is to support the devotional, the actual primary devotional activity. So in other words, his compassion here for the deer, as a side thing, it's just there, it's a deer. So of course, it's a baby, you take care of it. You know, you would protect it from tigers, you would give it some grass, you would do these things. But the problem is he became so absorbed in that he forgot his spiritual practices. Then it becomes useless.
That's actually the overly part.
That's the overly part. So that's why you get so absorbed in your arrangements that you forget, or the parents so absorbed in taking care of the kids they don't chant.
Yes.
Like I remember one mom, where were we? I think we were in... one mom was talking about it, came up because there's this new mother and the baby, and she was saying she can't do any sadhana and all that. And then this other mother, she had, I forget how many kids, but she had, I think, three kids. She was saying she always chanted her rounds. She may have, other things may not be able to do, she always got her rounds done. She was pointing out the importance, and she was telling her how to do, when to do, because you just think, oh, it's this, I can't do it, because I would chant at this time and I'm doing some of the baby, so then they just forget about it. So they were teaching them how you just put your rounds in and stuff like that. Does that make sense? So that's the thing that we learn here, is we can't lose the fundamentals of our spiritual life because of all these other aspects. Right? It doesn't mean now we don't care about the kids. Right? Yeah. It means that you can't forget about the spiritual.
Another point that comes out later is the danger of premature renunciation, of being alone without association.
Okay. Very good.
It's still premature. Coming back to that point.
Premature for how you say, the Paramahamsa stage. So. Yes.
He also, he is somewhat inconsistent, because Bharat Maharaj, he left his family, and even Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned it in one of his purpose. Then he had sons, he had wife, he had palace, everything, and now he's playing with the deer. As if it is his family, and it's kind of
similar. So that's the premature part.
Yes.
You know, like that. Means that if he was more mature, he'd be able to function on his own there, because then it's himself and Paramatma.
Yes.
You know, and then the deer, he's interacting with the deer, the Paramatma's there, the soul is there. So it would have a much different kind of thing. You wouldn't have this much detail. Right? It would just be, Barma saw a deer and he kept him in the ashram and took care of the deer, and then, until the deer grew up and then left and went out and joined all the other deers, and he carried on his sadhana. Mm-hmm. Like that, the story would be like that. You know, but then why mention about the deer? Are we going to mention about every bird and bug in the ashram? Like that. He was walking down the path and there was a bug there, so he moved out of the way to not step on the bug,
Probably wouldn't make it to Bhagavatam.
Yeah, so it's here because of it. Okay. After a few days, he forgot everything about his spiritual advancement.
Slippery slope.
Yeah. So the point is he was already in fallen condition before he, fell off the cliff.
Yes.
It's not that he fell down means he fell off the cliff. Like that, because that's the whole point. The Uttamadhikari means they stay on top of the plateau there, and below that, that's all, the mud ones on the side, and the neophytes on the plains, like that. So.
So Maharaj, it is like a love story. He's in love for the deer and he forgets everything.
Yeah, you can make a movie out of this one, definitely.
There was Bambi with the mother deer.
It works. You just have to throw in the person now.
Yeah, no, I can just see it, you know. So you have to use a lot of close-ups, no? Yeah, yeah, close-ups and really full sound. Soft, but really full sound. Right? Yeah?
Yeah, Hollywood filter.
Yeah, yeah, no, it could be good. Srila Prabhupada comments, from this we can understand how we have to be very cautious in executing our spiritual duties by observing the rules and regulations and regularly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If we neglect doing this, we will eventually fall down. Right? So eventually, may keep for some time because devotional service is so powerful and its effects are so great, they may last for a while. But we have to remember is just as you perform the activities, the curve going up in advancement is parabolic. Also, if you don't perform, the curve going down is parabolic. So it appears you're doing fine for some time, and then it just kind of drops. So that's why one has to be very, very careful. So because you're going along, it seems okay, that's where Maya covers you. And once you're covered, then the end of the curve comes. And then it's the throwing part, right? We must rise early in the morning, bathe, attend Mangalarti, worship the deities, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, study the Vedic literature, and follow all the rules prescribed by the acharyas and the spiritual master. Means what they give. Those the Vedics has unlimited rules to accommodate everybody. Right? So what ones the acharyas give us, that's what we have to follow. We don't have to worry about other ones. If we deviate from this process, we may fall down, even though we may be very highly advanced. Yes. So that's the thing. So we have to always... The platform of following the footsteps of the acharya. So that means the footsteps means what they do.
Yes.
So, what they advise. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the next three verses, 9 to 11, describe Maharaj Bharata's attachment to the deer. The great king Maharaj Bharata began to think, alas, this helpless young deer, by the force of time, an agent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has now lost its relatives and friends and is taking shelter of me. It does not know anyone but me, as I have become its father, mother, brother, and relatives. This deer is thinking in this way, and it has full faith in me. It does not know anyone but me, therefore I should not be envious and think that for the deer... I should not be envious and think that for the deer my own welfare will be destroyed. I should certainly raise, protect, gratify, and fondle it. When it has taken shelter with me, how can I neglect it? Even though the deer is disturbing my spiritual life, I realize that a helpless person who has taken shelter cannot be neglected. That would be a great fault. Right? So in principle, that point is a fault, is there. But it doesn't mean you neglect the spiritual life. Yeah. It just means you may have to adjust it around.
Yes.
Right? You might have to adjust your japa around the dental appointment. Yes. Not that you don't chant. Yes.
Would you say Puranjana, who was attached to a woman?
Yes.
Became a woman.
Right.
And this one, he was attached to a deer.
He became a deer. Yes.
You see that Bharat Maharaj, he was on much higher position.
Yes.
He still had to become a deer.
No, because the mechanics are always the same.
Yeah. Kuranjana, even though he was a much lower position, he became a woman and then attained quite a high position.
But what was his husband? What was her husband?
Pure devotee.
Yes, so that's the thing. That will come up later, is the association. So the association then makes that difference. That's why we always associate with those more advanced. Yes.
How can we understand that Bharat Maharaj saw the deer as an agent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Why couldn't we?
What is meant by an
so an agent should only be a spy. So actually he's actually a robot and he's not actually a deer, so he doesn't actually have to spend this. That was the actual trick.
So initially he saw the connection to...
He does. It's not that he doesn't, but the point is where's the prominence? It says overly compassionate.
Mm-hmm. But it says that the time is the agent of the Supreme Personality.
Yeah, so time. So he's gotten into the situation by that. So he sees, but having said that, now he forgets. Mm-hmm. Right? So he's made that connection and then goes on to forget. You're supposed to make the connection and then cultivate that. Mm-hmm. So that's...
But he's right. Grammatically, it means time is the agent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Not the deer.
Oh, the deer.
The time. Yeah.
Oh, you were thinking he was thinking the deer was.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't catch that. I didn't catch. Sorry. Yes. Yes. The time is not the deer, but it's not that he can't see, be Krishna conscious, and then forget. You know, that's the Oriental perfection, right? Learn it all, forget it all. Yes.
Maharaj, his mood of giving shelter, is that in any way connected to his life of being king and giving
you could say, yes, because he's acting too much on that, and so that can be a problem. So that would also be a point of not mature enough, because Brahmacharya Vanaprastha Sannyasa is supposed to be functioning from the Brahminical platform. It's not that they may not have the flavor of their other varnas there, but it shouldn't be the prominence. But the principle of taking care and all that, this is all correct. Problem is this takes precedent over his spiritual life. That's what the problem is. Yes.
That's what Krishna tells Arjuna. He says, even if you renounce to the forest, you're just going to slay tigers and hunt.
Yeah, yes. You're still going to do the same thing. Yeah, so that was the thing. So that would have been... Arjuna thought, I'll do this, but then he would do that. So this Bharat Maharaj has now, in a more subtle way, done the same thing. Because... Arjuna was setting the example of a Madhyama, you know, like that. But he's setting the example as an Uttama. But still, the point is until you get the prema, that Uttama, that's fixed. You know, that you won't fall from. Does that make sense?
This is what I understood from Vishwanath, how he says it, that he felt himself a center.
Felt himself the?
A center.
A center. Yes, yes, that would be a good
one. Repeating so much the word me.
Yes, 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 that's true. Yes, it's not that by the Lord's grace and he's seeing me as it's actually, the Lord is the shelter of everyone, but the deer only understands up to me, and so therefore, as representing the Lord, he takes care. Yes, he's leaving that part out. So in other words, the compassion part's fine, he's just left the Lord out, therefore it's overly compassionate.
Yes.
Because that's what we have to be very careful is when it says we adjust on the overly compassionate, we don't throw out compassion.
Yes.
We throw out the overly.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Idea. Yes. You throw out the bathwater, not the baby.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Like that.
It's like political correctness. We focus on the correctness. Actually, it's the political.
Yeah, it's political. Yeah, that's the problem.
You have to adjust the focus.
Yes, yes. Okay. Then. Srila Prabhupada comments. When a person is advanced in spiritual consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, he naturally becomes very sympathetic towards all living entities suffering in the material world. Right? So it's a natural thing. Right, because he's non-envious. So why wouldn't you be compassionate to someone who's suffering because of envy? Oh, they deserve that. You know, one would be natural. Right? Yes.
This, just a short, but can we say it's their karma? You know, not that they deserve it, but, you know, I'm not involved, but it's their karma. What can I do?
That's their, it's their karma, but the point is, according to your duties and position, could you do something? If you can, that's just the way it is. If you can, you would.
So you can be said that it's karma to be involved. It's his karma to be involved.
The other person's karma to be involved, but not necessarily yours.
Of course, yeah.
You know, you're involved, yes, by... Yes, it's theirs that they're involved, but it doesn't mean that you don't do something. So that's why we're saying is the compassion doesn't go.
Yeah.
The overly goes. Right, because that's generally the thing. Is then we're reluctant to be compassionate, but then that creates other problems.
Yeah, then it creates karma.
Yeah, then it snowballs. It just goes, like that. You know, then we sit around talking about community all the time. because we threw out the compassion and kept the overly. So now we overly talk about community. Right, you know, so. You know what I'm saying? It just goes around, and it just goes one side, then it'll go the other. Because the point is you have to know what to keep. Just like India, you had the element that they're being what do you call it? What's the term? Occupied?
Yeah.
Is that the term? Yeah, occupied. So, foreign culture is there disturbing their own culture. So the original concept of Swaraj that came up, you know, in the mid-1800s was about removing the British so that they could follow their own culture. And Gandhi was also talking that, you know, following the Gita and this and that and trying to accommodate and all this and that. You know, but because it had the political thing, it wasn't purely based on Gita, it left the door open for all kinds of things. Now, you had all these people have been for 100 years trying to create a movement for liberating India. And they could never get anywhere. Mm-hmm. Right? And then along comes this little Gujarati lawyer from South Africa. And suddenly the whole of India follows him. So, and he's on board with, you know, that's how you say it, the emancipation, and so everybody gets behind. But then as soon as they get independence, then you see it has nothing to do with the culture. It goes off in another direction.
I think also they rallied behind him because the last viceroy was really horrible.
So that
then,
may be.
So then suddenly they have the common...
They can. That's also there. Yes, if you take that. I'm sure you put it all together. But the point is what we're saying is that it's not about the culture. It's just about getting freed from it. So that's what we have to be very careful about. Is that we see is, okay, devotees in the past have been kind of rough, not taking care of families, not taking care of each other, so we got to get rid of this. So that means, why are they doing that? Oh, it's because of the philosophy. You know, that we, you know, don't be attached, don't be this and that. So therefore, what's the solution? Oh, we have to be attached, we have to be. You understand? No, the point is you have to adjust what it is, because you can't throw it out, because then what's your authority for? Being compassionate, because you've thrown out the Vedic principle, so it can't be that anymore. So it has to be, because the modern says be compassionate. If the modern people weren't compassionate, you know, in other words, if we were living in a Spartan society, we wouldn't see them talking these points. You know, it's just whatever is the popular thing today, that's then what's reflected. Right? Because before, it's like, how much association do you have? Right? It means you're in the temple, you're with devotees. How much association is there with the outside world?
Nothing.
Now, how much time does your average devotee spend kind of with the outside world? A lot of time. And what's the medium for that?
Sankirtan.
No, Sankirtan, they were doing that before, but you're on your own little bubble, right?
Internet.
Internet.
Oh, now. Okay.
So in other words, now, whatever's got, where do devotees get the idea of what's popular nowadays? Because of the internet. If it wasn't for internet, how would you know what people do? So that's the whole thing. So then by association, one takes these things on. So one has to be very, very careful. Is that if there's some problem, solve the problem. Not actually, you have to analyze what the actual problem is. So that's what Bhagavatam is showing us. What the real problem is. Right? The problem is not the compassion. The problem is the overly compassion, because in doing so, he gave up his Krishna consciousness. So it wasn't that he was just expressing his natural, you know, compassion due to his advancement in Krishna consciousness. It went further than that. That's where the problem comes in. Because otherwise, being naturally compassionate is just the way it is. But if it just takes on that mundane quality, doesn't have the spiritual quality, that's going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Well, the difficulty is to find the balance.
That's the whole point. So that's what the Bhagavatam is showing us. Because they'll talk one topic, then we'll get into that, and then, you know, then the next topic will take the other. You know, until we finally get it finer and finer, until we get it, you know, on the razor's edge.
Yes.
You know, otherwise, there's a lot of woo woo woo, you know, like that. You know, trying to stand on the, you know.
All the balancing.
Huh?
All the balancing.
Yeah, overbalance. So that's the whole thing, is that it can't be, it's not overbalancing, it has to be exact. That's the thing, because overbalance will always be a problem. Right? You know, just as we perceive underbalance, overbalance doesn't solve the problem. You know? It's just, yes.
Well, this is so refined that there's absolutely no possibility a conditioned soul could understand any of this.
Yeah. That's why Prabhupada says without taking shelter of the acharyas. Like that. There's no question of it. That's the whole point. The Gita's been there, these things have been there, but no one catches it. So without the acharya, it will go. Okay. However, if one does not know of the material sufferings of fallen souls and becomes sympathetic because of bodily comforts, as in the case of Bharat Maharaj, such sympathy or compassion is the cause of one's fall down, right? So that compassion has to be there, but what's the real solution is Krishna consciousness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You may deal with the immediate symptoms, but it's about the Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Just like in Ayurveda. Most of the time they just treat the root. Nowadays they treat more the symptoms, but I remember when I first came to India, the Ayurvedic doctor wouldn't even deal with the symptoms. Mm-hmm. He would just deal with the root.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems that the symptoms just keep going, and then suddenly one day they just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have more tolerance than that. It's more complete. Well, if you work on the symptoms, you can get rid of the symptoms, but then you have to go back and work on the root. And once the symptoms go, who wants to take the medicine? So actually it's more efficient to work on the root because the symptom's still there, so you keep taking it very strictly. And then having done that, then it's effective, it's gone. You understand? So that's the system, that's the Vedic system. Is the root's the most important. And if you can make them comfortable on that at the same time, great. But if you make them overly comfortable, then the whole point gets lost.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki
Jai
Jai Nita Gaura Prema.